No, it's a good day. It's a good day.
Dutch Sheets this week said something which was very unique. You know, Dutch Sheets will kind of say rough things, but he's like pretty, you know, very well-mannered and everything. He said, I could go into Christian churches, and he's saying, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about born-again Christian churches, and I can tell you by the minute of what is going to happen in that church. By the minute. That's where we have basically come to, and we have just, he said, that's how we have basically told God, this is the box, play with the rules, and this is what it is. And that's where he goes, is like, I can tell you by the minute, and that really shocked me. Because Dutch Sheets is not one of those, you know, fire or whatever. Dutch Sheets is very, like, orderly and, like, you know. And so from a man of God, when it comes like that, it kind of, you know, puts it in perspective, is that we have basically sometimes allowed things to become so orderly that it is replicated by demand. And we kind of have to go with, now, Holy Spirit, where do you want to do? What do you want to do? And what's funny is that, so I have a good message, okay? And it's not that I'm lost, but I'm just like, you know, trying to hone in. And it's funny, it's like I hone in on different things. So right now, as we are standing over here, the time is 12 o'clock, sharp, 12 o'clock. So right now it's, I think, 8 o'clock in Israel. Tonight starts the new year in Israel. The Rosh Hashanah service basically starts right now. I think it's 6:30 at sundown over there. And basically New Year starts now. So literally we are walking into this, when the worship and all, like, you know, it's sometimes we are basically, okay, what is this timing? What's happening? You know, and I just felt this, like, a fresh breath come in. And I was like, yeah, it's new. It's now. So I went to check the clock. I turned the world clock on. And I was like, yep, it's New Year now. See, we have to become the sons of Issachar who basically know the seasons and time. Time. We're not just going to be sitting and saying, hey, do this. Hey, this is what God's saying. Yes, there are times where basically we believe what the man of God says, and we know how the prophets declare things and all. And yes, God declares it through different people. But we have to catch on to this, that everyone in this place is responsible that they can change the world. And you have to come on board with that God is ready to use you. It's not like I'm just going to push this and, like, say, oh, maybe no, let them do it. You know, Jeremiah the prophet, and I have this, Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, but God, I'm just a young man. I can't speak these words. No, God says, I put my words in your mouth. Declare them. So even like how last week, like Riley comes up in front and, like, you know, she prays for this lady and she prophesies to the lady. Hey, if Riley can do it, everyone in this place can do it. Come on. It's like, you know, it's like, it's not a time like where we basically can rest and just move back and just say, okay, let somebody else do it. I did my part. No, no, no. This thing is like, you know, quickening. And it's funny that I see you multiple times. Jeannie, what's your daughter's name? Christina. Christina, God wants to tell you that you are a friend of God. And it's like, how am I a friend of God? Oh, you talk to your friends, right? You pick up the phone and you call your friends and you, like, have these conversations, and then you'll talk about things that which is only between you. And God wants to tell you, is like, hey, call me. Talk to me. And I'll tell you things. And I've seen you multiple times. And I'm not joking, like, it's not today. I've seen you multiple times. And I was like, yep, she's a friend of God. Tell her that she's an intercessor. And I'm telling you that today, even right now, under the unction of God, I'm basically saying that an intercessor, that you will know the heart of God as it turns. You'll not have to say, like, oh, somebody said this or something. You'll know, okay, God, poof. Like, he's moving in there. Oh, there, that's where he is. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this. Okay. Yeah. Let me break down how I understand God. Okay. So we were sitting in a place, and this man of God basically says, is like, so I asked him a question. I said, hey, how do you follow God? Like, you know, especially when you're in this creative kind of flow. It's like, how do you follow God? It's like, always look behind the corner what God is doing. And I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. He's like, you know, most people get caught up, is like, they're seeing, like, when God moves in a place, they're running after where the miracles and everything are, and they're calling out. But God has already done that. And God has already moved the corner and turned the corner and doing something else. as a prophetic voice, you have to be watching for that, ready to declare what that is, not what this is. You've already now stepped into an old water if you keep declaring this old thing, but you have to move into the new thing. And this is where the challenge is now to the church. We can keep saying these old things and this is all good and it is like the same thing we're doing again and again, but we have to move to that round. What is God doing around the corner? Come to that place, come to that understanding. Raise your level of expectation to that point where you're like, what is around the corner? I want to be around where God is, not where God was. I'm not declaring what God did, but I want to declare what God is going to do. That is the active living church. That's where we are basically moving into. We are calling every person to walk into that thing where God is. And God is now. Now faith is. What's funny is like Clay talked to me on the way in, and Clay goes, is like, remind me in 2 weeks not to come to church because OU plays Texas. And you know, in the morning I got this thing and I was going to say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm going to connect my faith to this and I'm going to say, OU is going to be Texas. No, but I'm not going to connect to that. Since the year I've come to America, OU has never won a championship, and I'm connecting my faith to that and I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, I believe that OU is going to win a championship this year. That's where I'm connecting my faith to. Raise your expectation of faith. What you thought was the great battle is not the great battle. It is just an understanding of what the battle looks like. But it is not the main battle. Yes. Winning a championship is the say it and know it and know all of it. That's where we have to be. What are you calling? I'll read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, turn to your Bibles. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. God is putting words in people's mouths. He's going to do it right now. He's doing it right now. The things that like which are moving in your heart, and you're like, oh, yeah. I in service, basically, I heard this thing, Psalms 38, 9. And I was like, what is Psalms 38, 9? 38, 9, Psalm 38 is basically, you know, where there's people, I guess David is just crying unto God. It's like, my bones are broken, and so... and all those kind of things. And it's like, that's depressing. I don't want to go there. Like, you know, I have this right to with God. I have this thing. God, nah, I don't. And then he goes, it's like, read that psalm and read it in the Passion Translation. If you have never read Passion Translation, I encourage you strongly to try to do it. I'm an amplified person, but I just dabble in the Passion Translation. Okay? Passion Translation says that my tears are like liquid words before you. Liquid words. Remember this, that God has not forgotten your tears. They're always before him. You know, he collects it in this bottle and he basically... But Jeremiah is a crying prophet, right? Everybody know that, right? And why I'm talking about words, because I believe that what words we are speaking is words that will happen. Like we in worship, right? We're singing that breakthrough is coming. Miracle is coming right now, right? And all I want to say really, right, you know, just add an S to all of those things. Like breakthroughs are coming, miracles are coming, healings are coming, deliverances are coming. Like everything that is in the kingdom of God is multiple. It will be multiplied as you believe. You see? The next verse says, see, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms. This is talking to Jeremiah, which is basically a reflection of us, the church, the ecclesia. We are called to basically command the nations and the countries. I'm giving you, each of you, if I had to give each of you a country, that's 50-something countries or 60 countries in this place. Some of them I can multiply. I can say, okay, take two, that's 120 countries. Take three, 180 countries, they're 200 countries-ish in the world, you know. And it says, this day I've appointed you to the oversight of the nations of the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Four things to tear down, two things to build up, to build and plant. Think of it. You are living in a culture where you're basically allowing things to just grow up around you, and you're saying, and these are wrong things. And but we're like, we're okay. We live under this banner. We're okay. We're happy. We come up to church on Sunday. We're okay because we can do these things. No, 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 no. The oversight is for the nations. God is giving you oversight for the nations. With what are you ready to connect with God and tear down and destroy, uproot and destroy? Sometimes there are weeds in even our lives that need to come out because there are nations inside of us. We have to come to that understanding that it's not only just outside, but it's inside also because the nations are inside of us. This time of where we are basically going, okay, so this 10 days of awe is basically beginning tonight in Israel and basically goes on for 10 days. Tonight for the next 2 days is Rosh Hashanah, which is their New Year, so Happy New Year. And then basically they go into these days of awe and they come to the highest day or the most holy day called Yom Kippur on October 9th. October 9th is where basically the priest would go in with your offering and would go in and like, you know, suddenly if he basically was not clean, he was not holy, he'd never like, you know, meditated on the word of God and he entered into that holy of holy, he could be struck dead. This is how intense some of the things are where we have dumbed it down and said, no, that's fine. No, this is the word of God. To receive the miracles and move into that aspect of it, we have to understand on the other side of it, these days of awe. I always wanted this awe.com. Really, to me, an awe of God, the awe.com is what I want. I want that we basically walk into services where the awe of God is and you're either crawling out or you're just falling down. Either way, there's only two ways, in and out. You're in the presence of God or you're out of the presence of God. You're not like sailing in two boats. Long time we have said, okay, that's okay. Little bit of, yeah, little bit mixture, that's fine. No, 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 no. You're either in or you're out. You're basically going full on for God or you're not for God. Like, really, you have to make this clear distinction. We cannot preach a semi-gospel. A semi-gospel is not for what we have to do. If you have nations and you want the authority for nations, then that's what God is calling you to do. You have the authority over nations. Legislate what you want to see in the nation. The verse goes on. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch, a shoot of an almond tree, the emblem of alertness and activity, blossoming in late winter. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. God is always watching over his word to perform it. It's funny that because for us, we want, like, you know, we say, yeah, Lord, speak the word unto me, you know. Yeah, give me a prophecy, give me a prophecy. Yeah, God will give you, and he's ready to perform it, but you have to connect with that word. You see, and that's where we basically have come to is, but the more important thing is, and I'll explain this, the last decade, right, according to the Jewish years, were the year, decade of Ayin, A-Y-I-N. Which means the eye, the seeing, okay? So in the last years, we basically have seen things, we understand, and we have been able to process these things, okay? What we're moving into is where we're going to start declaring these things. So the legislation that I'm talking about, or what you're going to speak over these nations, is what you're moving into. So as of right now, we have moved into that time. We've moved into this decade. We've moved into this time where we're basically going to call in things, and we're going to speak in things. And I asked Dan, how do we turn lights down over here? Like, okay, let's see. Let's try this. I don't know. So I have a flashlight, right? And so if I was in a dark place, I basically had this flashlight. It says, my word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. In a dark and crazy time, you don't know where you're walking, where you have to go. You're always wanting to know, God, is this the right thing? Is this the right place? My word is a lamp unto your feet. This is what it looks like. You walk into the dark places and you have the word of God and it becomes a path, a light unto your path. Just simple. You can turn the lights back on. As long as you understood that illustration, that's very important because that's how we say these words, you see, and then we basically just say, I don't know what to do. We made this that is like we do not know what the word of God says. And we have to come to a point where we are living the word of God. We are able to declare the word of God. We're able to call in the word of God and we're able to say exactly what the word of God says. Chesley speaks the word like crazy. Have you heard Chesley preach, right? Chesley will go, blah, 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 blah. I was like, dang, that's so cool. I was like he literally, like, he literally verbatim just, like, you know, says the word. I kind of mix it up, really. Fun part of this is that this year, you go to the slide which has this year 5780. It's called the year of pain. So that's what the symbol looks like. It looks like, you know, and it has this mouth. It looks like the head, and it looks like a mouth, this word pay. And this mouth basically is what you're going to speak. And I was very worried about the dot. I was like, what's that dot? That dot doesn't look right. And all. I was like, hey. So God goes like, if the Spirit of God is inside of you and you're speaking with the Spirit of God, that's what it looks like. Now, there'll be a definition, there'll be a whole Hebrew, you know, learning and teaching on that. But for me, I was like, okay, we're good with that. Is because what happens is we have two ways to speak the word. One, what is the written word? What is funny is all this is written in Hebrew. A rabbi that we quote plays at a synagogue sent me a thing with all this, and they know all this. And they're not moving into the things of God where they have to declare it. And all. It even says it's a miracle. It's the message of a miracle. And I was like, whoa, they know all this. So when Jesus must have said it is written, he was saying, hey, guys, it's written. Just go read this. You see? And so the iron basically looks like an eye. It's like a semicircle, elliptical kind of thing, but it looks just like an eye. And this, like the oldest one of it, looks like a mouth. And they have drawings. So they have basically the meaning of the word, they have the number, and they have what the other number it is. So 80 is the number. And what is funny is that, you know, Pastor Easy, 80 is the time when Moses got up and he led the people of Israel. Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you're up in age or whichever way you think of it. Oh, no, I'll just sit at the back and I'll pray for you guys and God use you. No. 80 is when basically Moses got up and went in this thing. And this was Moses who could not even speak, right? Because Moses said, oh God, my tongue is heavy. I'm like, you know, I can't speak. Send my brother with me. And so Aaron went with him. But that's how the Bible is. It is written. So in this, the question is like, what do you speak, right? Because I could say, yeah, I want to be a millionaire or I want a championship or whatever. But I need the Spirit of God. I need to connect to what the Spirit of God says. So two ways. One, if it's in the Bible, it's a promise, it's yours. Declare that. So when it comes to healing, we're not going to worry about, I'm not sure if it is basically something else. No, healing is the children's bread, it says in the Bible. So healing is ours. So we're constantly, it is going to be not that you're going to worry about, oh, my back hurts, or oh, my hand hurts, or oh, what this hurts. But you're basically going to say, it's like, that is my healing, I'm going to have it, and I'm constantly having it. There was a lady who basically gave a testimony. She said that her eye, she was losing sight of because of her retina or something. And then she said, like, she was taking injections in her eye. And she basically goes, and God tells her, it's like, hey, what did I tell you? She said you would heal me. Yeah, and that's it. He said, okay, so keep saying that. And you keep saying what God basically said to you because it is written. And it basically becomes, the word is living. The word is powerful. And God is alert and active to perform his word. That is one. The second one is right now. In this now of God, right? What does God want, or what is God telling you individually? Not others. We are very happy to tell other people what God is saying. You see? Yeah. Especially if there is a mic involved in it, a lot of people are very happy to give words with the mic. But what if God wants to talk to you, and what is God saying specifically to you? Right? Because we can either not connect to God. We're making very conscious choices as Christians, whether we are really working, like we're moving with God, or we're saying, nah, we're okay. As long as nobody cares, you know, whether we come to church or we don't, and all, we're okay. Yeah. But God, like, if you really are seeking God, and this is where I'm making a clear distinction in the church. I'm not talking to a world outside. But we basically, we're walking with that part of it where it is, hey, what is the word God is wanting you to step in? You know, and Graham Cook says this thing. He's like, always question God. And he says, ask God a question. It's like, hey, what are you doing now? What do you want to be for me now that you never were before? Okay, so in all these things right now, because the Spirit of God is still here, like I can go either way. Okay, so the question is like God wants to put something in your heart. In this whole container of your heart, God wants to drop this word. Okay, so let's just take this couple of minutes and just like let just God speak to us. Even if he doesn't speak to you right now, he will speak to you at some point. He may speak to you through a sign. He may speak to you through something else. All you have to know is that what God wants to speak to you, and that becomes your assignment. If he says this, that's what you have to do. Because I can come and I can prophesy to Bianca. Bianca, you're going to be so and so, da, 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 all this, right? But I am a man and I see partly and I don't see in full. But what the Spirit of God sees is we're more distinct and more clear and more sharp than even what I can prophesy. So when God wants to drop things into your heart, let it be pure, let it be holy, let it be whole. Let that what is of God come into you, that seed which is uncorruptible. My word may not have that, what I give to her, but what God wants to drop in your heart, in your spirit. Because you know when the prophetic word comes, your spirit has to acknowledge and connect to that. And that's when you know that word is true. I was showing somebody, I was giving somebody, John and me went one time to meet Mark DuPont. I don't know, many years ago, it was at the Sweetwater Church. And Mark DuPont is saying, giving us like, you know, prophetic word. And if you don't know who Mark DuPont is, he's the guy who prophesied the Toronto revival. Okay, so Mark DuPont is there. Mark's pretty cool, right? He's a biker kind of guy. And so he's like giving us this word. And I just heard myself suddenly break and cry. And I was like, why am I crying at that moment? He told me, and I'll share this with you. He said, you're like a Barnabas. And I was like, okay, what is so great about this Barnabas that I started crying? So I heard it again. And he's like, because Alan prophesies, he's like a nubby prophet. He's like, it bursts forth and he prophesies, right? And I see things and I would prophesy with that and I connect and I could go either way, but he does that very like strongly. His strongest thing is like, he just goes like, it's like a gusher and he just prophesies. So that's where the word nubby comes, right? In Hebrew, or naba, is where you're prophesying. And so Barnabas, right? So bar, naba, and so is that. And I was like, yeah, but you know, for me, prophecy and all, I'm not crying because of that. And he goes and he says this, bar means son. And I was like, that's what I cried for. At that moment in time, an identity issue of my heart possibly was with my sonship. See, God knows exactly what's in your heart. It's not about God wanting you to do the things. He loves you more than what you can do. You have to come to that understanding where God is more worried about you than about what you can do or what you can bring or what you can give or what you can sow. He wants you. And I have this word, and I'm going to release it because I know the person is not... I have a name called Joshua. I do not know if it's a, what do you say, like a son or somebody like this guy Joshua, okay? But so I'm releasing it on the tape. And it's like literally because I got up very early in the morning one day and God said, speak to Joshua. So to Joshua, I just have to tell you that God sees you as a son. And he sees you where he basically is calling you in and he's saying, well done, my son, well done. And all you have to know in your life is that God sees you as a son. And he's saying, well done, my son. See, I didn't know when I had to release it. When I talked about myself, I knew it was that moment to release it. Job 22, verse 21 to 27. I'll just paraphrase it. You can go home and read this stuff, right? Verse 21 says, acquaint now yourself with him. God is calling you at a time where he wants you to acquaint with him. For past seasons, you have said, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. No. Acquaint with him, right, as if something new. Like, make this relationship fresh. Do whatever it has to be to make this relation new. You know, don't go in with this old kind of garment. Don't go in with this old tattered clothes. Because God wants to take you somewhere new. He wants to develop you into something different. Let him do that. Verse 22, it says, receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. Last week, Pastor Lena said this, is like, take the words of God and keep it in your heart and meditate on it. And that, it's lay these words in your heart, because like that light on the inside of you, whenever darkness wants to come, that lamp, the word would be a light unto you, even into your heart. You have to eradicate the places of darkness where you suddenly, you know, just fall down and say, oh, I just did that. Oh, that's fine. No, 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 you're going. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before Him, you will be built up. This year, you're going to basically have a lot of humility. Humility even like, because the processing, the eagle, right? The eagle. If I see with the eyes of eagle and I see these words and I know exactly what's going on, but if I do not process it with the heart of God and I release it with my mouth, the beak of the eagle is ready to tear. It can tear, it can damage, it can do a lot of harm. A lot of people are happy getting a prophetic word, but you have not processed it with the heart of God and you are not able to release it with the true intention of God. That's where the intentionality of God basically has to come in. And I like the wings of the eagle. I said, yeah, let it be 30 feet. Why not? Because there's healing under these wings. There's so many people who need to get healed. It's like, yeah, let's do 30 feet, you know, wings. But yeah, but the prophetic is now moving to a very different dimension. God, as a in the prophetic, wants you to basically come in where, oh, I see this. I'm going to call this. Yeah, this. Oh, yeah, very evident that you need this. I'll speak this. Yeah, but now I have to look at with those eyes. I have to let it process in my heart, and then I have to release it because I want only what God wants. The coming in into that place. For a long time, we have played the game of prophecy, and the game of prophecy is now coming to a higher dimension. And so I'm telling you what's around the corner. Because in past times, you could have said and you could have prophesied and you could have mixed your faith with the prophetic, and that's okay. It's okay in many places. But if you want to move into the real, like, you know, the heart of the stream of God, this is where it is coming to. You will have to wait on the word. You will have to let the word even test you. You will have to word process in you, and then you'd have to release it. And it doesn't matter because we are very... I tell people, I give examples of myself because I made all these mistakes. I have the exuberance, but I have now even the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom. The exuberance of mine was like, hey, I would declare like, you know, when there's a setting of love, I would declare like I'm seeing the Loch Ness Monster. And nobody shut me down. They just said, he did it, it's okay. Moving on, next week, you know, so like that. But what it does is like at some point, yes, you will develop and you will develop what the gifting God has given in you. Each of you have a gifting in this place. Do not put your light under a bushel. Do not dumb it down and dumb it down for people. Do not dumb it down for people even who are saved or unsaved. I don't care who these people are. Let that fire burn brightly, brightly. If I had to put the lights on, let the lights be on. I don't want the dimmer switch. The dimmer switch is when you dumb down things and when you basically put it down, it's like, tone it down. Really, when the fire of God comes in, when the day of awe comes in into this place, we are praying for the fire to come down. Fire, come down. What the heck fire would do? Let the alarms go off. Let the alarms go off. Let the fire brigade show up. In the Middle East, you know, there were schools where literally the presence of God would come. These are not Christian schools. This is the Middle East, okay, where the presence of God came into classrooms. Kids started crying. There was a fire over the whole building. Fire brigade showed up, and there was no fire, but everybody could see the fire. That's where the presence of God is. That's where we're in. And that is what happened. What is to happen is much more greater than what happened. That's what we have to be ready to declare and be into. And this is the fun part of it. So Job 22, verse 24. If you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, consider them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure. This is where the challenge is. What are you going to call as your treasure? In the Hobbit movie, if you don't know what it is, there'll be a YouTube link somewhere. Okay, there's a Hobbit, right, thing, and they're all going, trying to get this restored back. And there's a dragon who's sleeping on all these gold coins. There's a dragon. Do y'all know, remember what's the name of the dragon? Smaug, okay. Oh, the desolation of Smaug, that's the part, okay. And all these little hobbits are going to get is a stone. What's the stone called? Arkansas. They're going to go get the stone. In this whole treasure, which is laid in this whole mountain, they're running out. These little hobbits are running after the stone while the dragon is really sleeping on the treasure. It puts it, and this was what God just gave it to me this morning as I was standing at the back. He goes, it's like, that's what it is. People are worried about the treasure and they're trying to, and they're breathing fire on people and all. But really, it's not about that. When you find that one precious thing, sell everything and get to that precious thing. You see, that's where God wants you. It's an ark, the presence of God. Everything has no value compared to the presence of God. Everything you own is good, everything fine, but consider worth little. But consider his presence the greatest thing. You see, then you will have delight in the Almighty and you will lift up your face to God. You will make prayers to him and he will hear you and you will pay your vows. We wonder why God doesn't hear us sometimes, because we have made other things possibly higher than God. And the most important verse 22, Job 22, verse 28. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Just like I showed you the light. But you shall establish and decree a thing. In this year of pay, we're basically going to declare what God is putting in our hearts, and we're going to call it forth. Nobody is going to say, okay, what is your report card? Did you give so many prophetic words? Yes, all these were right. No, no, no. Just between you and God. What God puts in your heart, you're going to have to declare it. That's all you're going to do. What is written in the word, there's all your promises. That's fair game. You can declare that as much as you want, whenever you want to. But what God's moving you into, you're going to ask God, what do you do? Like, what do you want us to do? So just stand with me. Because more than just you listening and all, we have to start declaring these things. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, O God. And we open our mouths wide, O God. And you said, O God, you'd fill it with every good thing, O God. And the good thing is your word, O God, because your word is true, O God. Your word is good, O God. Your word, O God, is holy, O God. Your word is pure, O God. And so, Father, right now, just release your word in our hearts, O God. Just release your words in our heart, O God. No longer I want to be a person, O God, just like doing the moments, O God, and doing all the activity and everything, O God, but not having the word of God, O God. And your word is through, O God. So right now, Lord, just drop it. Just drop it. Just drop it in our hearts, O God. Holy Spirit, you are in this room, O God. Holy Spirit, we just love you, God. You are the best scriptwriter for our lives, O God. More than every script we can think and dream of in our lives, O God, we know, God, that you are able, O God, to write the best script ever, the best ever in our lives, O God, and for our lives, O God. And it is already written. It is already written, O God. So we need your help. We need your light. We need your guidance to walk into the things of God, what is written for our lives individually and even as a body of Christ, O God. So we even come into that moment, O God, where we are declaring, O God, as a church, O God. We are legislating, O God, to the nations, O God. We are calling into the nations, O God. And we are saying, let the nations of the world, O God, even in America, O God, even in Sugar Land, O God, come into this place, O God. We are calling the nations, O God, to come in, O God. More than even going into the nations, O God, we are calling, O God, the nations of the world, O God, to come in, O God. Our understanding is from you, and so, Father, raise our understanding, O God, to connect with the new, to understand the new. For long we have connected with something that is old and something that is, Lord, not even right, maybe even defunct. And Lord, we ask you forgiveness, O God. We ask you forgiveness, O God, for things, O God, of the past, O God, that we have just said, O God, this is it, this is it, this is it. And Lord, that shiny thing has already moved on, O God, and there's something new shiny, O God. We have moved even on from an iPhone, O God, to different things, O God. And Lord, we are coming into this place, O God, where you're in the kingdom of God. You want to bring it back, O God, to a whole circle to what you want, O God. So right now, God, just release it. Just release it, O God. And we will just follow you until the end of our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.